Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, the category is Talk Art.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you are in the world. I'm Russell Tovey.
And I'm Robert Diamond.
And this is Talk Art.
Welcome to Talk Art.
How are you, Rob?
Well, to be honest, I'm feeling a wide range of emotions. And I feel like every day that we've been in lockdown, I go from like sort of being very high and then very low. And sometimes I'm laughing with my friends on Zoom chats, and other times I'm crying to myself because you feel so kind of helpless. And then you try and make yourself be helpful by, you know, helping local food banks or other friends in need. And then you might have a moment where you sort of fall asleep on your bed because you're so exhausted by it all. I don't know. It's just constantly changing all the time. Yeah. And at the same time, there's this huge feeling of the outside world, and particularly New York City at the moment, which seem, and Italy, you know, these sort of places, which
Spain,
I'm sure
France,
London will
yes.
soon follow.
Yes.
And you really want to be able to help everybody, but I think the best thing we can all do is just stay home. But today's guest, the reason I use that word range is because I think he is really one of the great actors of our time, and also mm-hmm. great musicians and singers mm-hmm. and also just human beings. I think he is such a positive sort of force in the world, and the way that he even uses his own body almost like, you know, to wear such experimental clothes and to become this kind of figure of, you know, walking art. I mean, he's just a total inspiration. Mm. So I'm really grateful that he's come on the show today. And I know he's a good friend of yours. Mm-hmm. So we'd like to welcome to Talk Art,
Billy Porter.
Hello.
Hi, Billy.
Hello. How is everybody?
We're doing all right.
We're good.
Where are
we're
you?
Good.
Are you in New York still? Or
so I am in a town out on Long Island called Bellport, and we decided, you know, last Monday I lost a friend, and then on Tuesday or Wednesday we, the theater community, lost Terrence McNally, who was also a friend. And
yeah,
you know, it's just, as a 50-year-old gay man who lived through the AIDS crisis, it's eerily familiar. You know, the good news is that, you know, while we are behind the curve, it took 4 weeks, not 4 years, to people to acknowledge that was actually a thing. So,
yes,
I'm trying to find some solace in that.
Yes.
The speed at which people reacted to this, rather than letting 10,000 people die and not really actively talking about it in the media.
Yeah. So, you know, that's been good. The time, you know, the last couple of years of my life have just been nonstop. And as you know, as artists, you know, it's just not always like that. So when it is, you have to sort of take it, strike while the iron is hot.
Right.
You know, answer the phone calls because that's when they're calling. And I have lived through the phone not ringing a lot. So, you know, another silver lining and gift in this is that I get to spend time with my husband, who literally I haven't seen in like a year. So, you know, it's been beautiful to reconnect and have this time to reconnect. like this. You know, we're in a house, like I said, it's a blessing and it's a gift to have this option. I am a writer, and, you know, I have been writing for the better part of 20 years at this point, and I have never in my entire writing life, I've never had the luxury of just being a writer without worry about my financial stability, or, you know, when the work got good, you know, I was writing while doing 17 things at the same time. You know, my first play debuted off Broadway, and I was rehearsing all day and then going to the theater to do Kinky Boots at night.
Wow.
So, you know, I'm literally sitting in a rehearsal, rehearsing and trying to rewrite my play and then going to work at night. And,
right.
You know, so there is, creatively, I am trying to lean into the space and the time that we all have right now. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to do that.
Well, we've been doing a similar thing with Talk Art. I feel like we've been recording, you know, lots of episodes with people that mean a lot to us, and, you know, including yourself. And I think somehow in the act of being creative and whatever it is you can do, whether you write or sing or even present a podcast, it's kind of like, you know, it is a time that we can all come together and hopefully give each other and the listeners hope. So, yeah.
Well, it's all creative people about how the culture is the most important message, the way the messages get thrown around the world. And it's like, you're talking about the theatre community. I mean, I had a play cancelled. We were doing Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? We did 9 previews. Yeah. It's just cancelled. And it's like, it's a historical time that things like that are happening. How is the theatre community coping, do you think, now you're like there?
Well, it's weird, you know, because the show must go on is the truth. You know, the show has always gone on. I knew that it was a big deal when Broadway shows were canceled, because I, not ever in my history has anything on Broadway 8 shows a week been canceled for a month.
No.
You know, like around 9/11, I think stuff was canceled maybe for a week. You know, but like in trying times like these, it's the arts, it's the artists that keep people afloat, that keep spirits lifted, that keep people breathing and communicating and, you know, trying to stay present and useful in some way. You know, I really have been inspired because I've been inspired by how almost immediately social media, at least in my world, I've seen a shift, and I've seen a shift from the negative to the positive. You know, I have seen a shift, you know, a shift that I've been longing for, a shift that I have, you know, so just sort of having lived in a time where none of this existed, to then grow up in it and see out and see my country being destroyed, and thereby the world being destroyed by literally a reality television show president, I call it. You know, it's like we're in the Wild West with this technology.
We're in The Simpsons.
It's like nobody knows what it does. And it does everything. And it can be everything. And it could work for the greatest good, and it can work for the worst kind of evil. And I think that we're seeing that, and it's not just innocuous. And, you know, the cancel culture, you know, that happens and exists, you know, in the social media world is not productive. And, you know, immediately I've seen a turnaround. Like, even for myself, it's like I sat on whatever, Zoom or House Party or, you know, one of these things.
Yeah.
And spoke to, like, you know, 12 of my closest friends for like 2 hours last week. It's like, yeah. I haven't connected with people like that in years. Yes, you know, whether it's a whole, you know, I have never been in the same room with my husband's family. We've been married for 3 years. You know, I've never been in the same room with all of them. I've met several of them individually. You know, not never. One wedding. But like, you know, we sat and on the phone and like had a family catch up the other day. Like I'm doing that with my family. My mother's in a nursing home to be able to, you know, she's in the Access Fund nursing home. So I am trying to live in what positive stuff can come from this. And that's one of the positives for me.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Are you missing, I mean, we all are, but missing the fashion that you have the opportunity to wear? But now it's like we're in this time. It's like, we were talking to someone the other day, like a fashion journalist, and they were like, the fashion world's just now going like, what do we do? I mean, are people buying a $2,000 handbag to sit at home with? It's like, what's happening? How are you like... Have you got withdrawal from that?
First of all, I will say there's a time and a place, right? My entrance, entree, if you will, into the fashion industry was literally about, I love clothes, I love fashion, I have this moment to be on these red carpets, let me, you know, be a walking piece of, you know, creativity and activism, you know. I never imagined that it would explode the way that it did.
Yeah.
So if I'm telling the truth, it was spiraling, and this is in a good way, but it was spiraling in a way where, or snowballing in a way that had literally become almost out of my control. And the week before everything was shut down, I was saying, I'm so excited to go back to season 3 of Pose because I can just go and do my work. You know, because literally it's been, and once again, not complaining. This is not a complaint. This is just like, oh shit, I didn't realize this is like a whole other career.
Career, like you've made another career,
It's a whole other career that is unexpected and I had no idea was possible. So it caught me off guard. It caught everybody around me off guard. So however long this is going to take, is it time for us to get all our ducks in a row now? And when we come back, sort of have some control over how we proceed and not let the snowball get ahead of us. You know, it's like that. It's like that boulder in Indiana Jones. I felt like I was in front of that boulder. The last 6 months, I just felt like I was running in front of that boulder. And you know, it's fabulous, but like, when do I sleep? When do I see my family? When do, like, you know, now, because
you've got to slow down. It's good to slow.
Right. Because of this unparalleled and unprecedented success for me, now I can say no. And no is a complete sentence. And no, now in this position that I'm in is about self-care.
Yes.
You know, I can live in a space of abundance and not lack. You know, that's a state of mind. I am working towards, you know, shifting that state of mind for myself. So to answer your question, I've been in sweat clothes and t-shirts for 2.5 weeks.
Yeah. I think I've had a couple of days where I've not even had a shower for like 48 hours at a time. I'm just like, who cares? So what, Sting? So you did describe yourself as a walking art, which is something that is absolutely why we wanted to get you on Talk Art, because I've always felt like with you, you are an incredible performer. Your voice is like velvet. You're an amazing actor. This other side, you're saying this other career you've made for yourself, I see you as a performance artist, Billy. I see you as kind of, you have this quality of I think it's the theatre thing as well, but a performance artist, because you're wearing these clothes and these clothes aren't wearing you. You are, I think that's your theatre allows you to do that. But tell me about this and how hearing that, what does that trigger in you?
Well, it's interesting because theatre people get it. People who understand, or you know, actors, you know, film and television actors, what have you, actors really get what I'm doing, because that's the last, very often that's the last thing that helps us create a character. You know, don't let the clothes wear you. You have to wear the clothes, because the clothes are the character. So every time I put something on, I behave however that piece of clothing makes me feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the clothes actually dictate my behavior. Wow. And I can approach it that way because I am an actor. And it's so, I never ever thought of myself as a performance artist. The actual word performance artist in relation to me came up like right before the Oscars. I was doing around award season time, I was doing promotion for a film that I did called Like a Boss. And I was in a car with Selma Hayek. And Selma was, she was just talking to me. She was like, Billy, you know, I feel it so, I need to see you outside of the singing and outside of the acting. I picture you like in a museum, and like, you know, it's not traditional and it's not what we've seen from you before, and it's like nothing you've ever done. And it was so interesting to me, because I said, what, like performance art? And she's like, yeah, performance art. Like, you are a performance artist. And it was the first time that I had ever thought of anything like that. I've been around for that in New York, and I've seen a lot of it. Well, I've loved it.
I see you as a Lee Bowery energy.
Yes.
I feel that with you.
I love that. It never even occurred to me, because I was trying to just simply get people to pay attention so I could get a job.
Wow,
you know, like and performance art, you know, for me at that time was so obscure.
Yes.
That I didn't know how I would ever make money doing something like that. So it wasn't even, you know, for
an
me,
option.
It was like, it's hard enough for me to make money and I'm in a Broadway show, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, what am I going to, you know, like it just never.
But what about now then? What about
me.
Now then that this,
well,
you do have this opportunity to do something like that even more?
Yeah, well, it's interesting to me because I am in the process of signing a new record contract.
Ah, yes.
And, you know, and I am going back, you know, my idea is that I'm going back to disco/house music /70s funk. You know, I want to
so
pick
exciting.
Up where Sylvester left off.
Can you remember the first time we met, Billy? Can you remember the first time we met?
We
were in the Eagle and there was all like leather queens walking past us. And I ran up to you and I went, oh my God, I love your song from the first Wives Club soundtrack, Love Is On The Way. And we stood there and I was like fanboying you while everyone's walking past in like thongs and like butt plugs. And then we were talking about the first Wives Club soundtrack.
I love it. You know I love an Eagle moment.
Oh yeah.
But that's even performance art. You know, like when I think about like what I was asking for in the 90s from my record label when I had my first R&B deal and it imploded. When I think about my love for somebody like a Lady Gaga or, or my appreciation for somebody like, you know, Madonna or an Erykah Badu or, you know, even a Boy George or, you know, like I think back and I, and now with this performance artist context, I'm like, oh my God, that's what I've always been asking for. Like, I don't want what's normal. I don't want what's traditional.
Yes.
You know, it's like, why is it that when, you know, Lady Gaga shows up, in whatever she shows up in, she's a brilliant artist. But as a black gay man, I show up in a dress and I'm just a faggot. What is that about? Mm-hmm. And why are we having, why can't I have the same artistic conversation that somebody like a Lady Gaga gets to have?
Yeah.
I'm an artist.
That's
you're all right.
I'm doing.
I think you were quoted as saying though that wearing a dress is a political act.
Yeah, it is. And it's weird that it still is. It's like, you know, the day after that Oscar dress, and I have to tell this story too. I won a Tony and a Grammy for playing a drag queen. I spent my whole life running away from that because, you know, you're never going to succeed. Nobody wants to see that. You're too much. You're too, you know, you're too sissified, you know, blah, 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 all of that. So I run away from it. Then I finally get the opportunity to sort of have a three-dimensional character who just happens to be a drag queen. I have the time of my life. My whole life has changed. Not one second did I think that I would be the modern day personification of that character. Like, it never occurred to me that I would wear a dress or want to wear a dress or, like, it never occurred to me. And my last album, Billy Porter Presents the Soul of Richard Rodgers, I had left Kinky Boots. I was trying to figure out, I said, now this album is the bridge. Like, this album is to because that album is R&B, soul, hip hop, rap, gospel, you know, arrangements of Richard Rodgers music. And I said, okay, theater people, this is your bridge, you know, because I'm a gospel singer, I'm a soul singer, I'm an R&B singer. That's where I come from. That's where my music is going back to. I know the white folks get scared of that. The old white folks get scared of that. Don't be scared of that. just remind yourself of Stevie Wonder or Marvin Gaye. That's where I'm going and you'll be fine. So, you know, I was going on tour. And I was going on tour to these, you know, the natural spaces that Tony Award winners sort of get fed into, which are more cabaret spaces. They're not like concert venues. They're cabaret spaces. But I didn't care. I was like, I'm going in there and I need to use this as a bridge for my audience to let them understand it's going to be funky. It's going to be loud. Get used to it. And it's going to look like this, whatever this is. And I stumbled across a designer named Rick Owens. And Rick Owens is, for those of you, I mean, a lot of people know who he
is.
Yeah,
we love
very
Rick.
Very sort of like, yeah, I love Rick. And it's very sort of punk, you know, kind of meets gender fluid, gender free. It's fabulous. And I dropped so much money that day. I bought myself an entire new wardrobe and I started playing. And I was the first dress I wore, you know, as myself. And it was like, right, I said that putting on the heels in Kinky Boots made me feel more grounded and more powerful than I've ever felt in my life.
It made you the most successful, didn't it? You got you a lot of awards.
Right.
Yes. And but then you didn't put two and two together.
The most masculine.
Yeah.
I didn't put two and two together. And so then I did that. And then I got the call to host the red carpet on the Oscars, and I was trying to figure out what to wear, and I was and it happened to be in my first fashion week, and I went to Kristen Siriano's show, and I remembered all of the times that I was in like drama school and hanging out with my friends and the jokes that we would have. You know, it's like, I'm going in a dress. I'm gonna wear a gown. Fuck it, I'm wearing a gown. You know, and I thought, wow, this is the time. Yes. To make that statement, like, this is the moment. And it feeds right into my brand, coming from Kinky Boots, you know, coming then going to Pose. It's like, if there's any space where it actually is connected to the brand and the work, it's right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I had seen Idina Menzel on the Oscars. And I had seen John Travolta say her name wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw her become a household name overnight because of that. And I held that in my head. I said, I need to get to the Oscars and somebody needs to say my name wrong. Like, literally.
That's the trick, yeah.
I was like, because that will change my life. And so when I got that call, I was like, this is my Idina Menzel moment. I got to make something of it.
You've got right? You've got to have a problem reading, though, if you can't say Billy Porter, to be honest. I don't think it's that. If you can't read that, then you shouldn't be reading anything, to be honest.
Correct. You're absolutely correct. But I happened to be in Christian Siriano's show, and I remember him from Project Runway, and I remembered, you know, how inclusive his art always was. You know, when they had that challenge to make dresses for regular sized women, and he won that challenge because that's already in his design. That's already who he is. Mm. He wasn't just trying to do something to win to win a contest. And I went to him and I said, girl, and I told him my idea, and it was at his party. We were on the dance floor. I whispered it in his ear, and he sort of like fainted in my arms. It was like, yes. I said, it's all right. We only got, you know, 10 days. He's like, call the office tomorrow. We'll make it work. And my idea was, if the camera starts on me and it's just, you know, chest up, it'll look like I'm in a tux. And then when you pull back and see that it's a ball gown bottom, it's going to fuck everybody up.
Mm.
And that's exactly what happened.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, this is Russell Tovey and Robert Diamond from Talk Arts, the arts podcast. And we're here today with Budweiser beer. And we're going to be talking about something very, very important to both of us, aren't we, Rob?
That's right. Budweiser, the king of beers, has joined forces with legendary artist Sir Peter Blake, the godfather of British pop art and someone that both of us have adored since we were kids.
I've loved pop art since I was a kid, and Sir Peter Blake has been a constant for me, alongside other pop art artists, the Americans like Andy Warhol, Roy Lichtenstein, Keith Haring. And I got into pop art, Rob, because I loved cartoons growing up. I mean, I still love animation. But suddenly I discovered that so many artists were referencing comic strips and cartoons in their artworks, and I could go and see them in museums, and I suddenly didn't need to grow up. And Sir Peter Blake was one of these artists that meant so much to me. And I think people, if they don't know the name Sir Peter Blake, you would certainly know his work. The album cover for The Beatles, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club, Oasis's Stop the Clocks. These are iconic art historical moments that this artist has actually been at the forefront of.
And you've met him, haven't you?
I've met him, at the South Bank Show Awards years ago. I was there for the History Boys, and he was there, and I got incredibly excited and met him. But you've not met him before, have you, Rob?
I have. I've actually even been to his house and hung out with him and his wife, and I got to make an amazing print with him, which was a huge privilege, actually. It was a real career moment for me. So Budweiser and Sir Peter Blake have come together to unite, and they have created an exclusive limited edition beer can, which doubles as a collectible piece of pop art.
And it was on display at London's Truerman Brewery on the 23rd and 24th of March this year, if you were lucky enough to get there. And also, were you one of the lucky few that were able to get one of the signed beer cans by Sir Peter Blake himself? And there was something very special there, wasn't there, Rob? What was that?
They've actually made the first ever fridge frame, which kind of is reminiscent of what we would be, you know, accustomed with in terms of a museum exhibit. Yeah. But this fridge frame is designed to display the limited edition can of beer as a work of art, but also keeps the beer cool.
Okay, I need a fridge full of fridge frames because this sounds incredible. So Peter Blake's work adorns the cans with all of his eye-catching simplicity. It features the Budweiser's iconic red bow tie logo, but it's encompassed by the artist's signature and his use of block colours and icons. They unveiled this artistic can in all of its glory in one of these fridge frames, as Rob said, which is very exciting. The limited edition cans are available to purchase as a four-pack for a limited time only in selected Tesco stores nationwide.
Budweiser and Sir Peter Blake, thank you for bringing us this cultural moment. I love it when art reaches new audiences, and I really feel like this is going to go into everyone's homes, and is really joyous. So head over to Tesco, pick up a four-pack. Thank you, Budweiser.
But also, if you want to get this collectible piece of art at home, Budweiser also giving people the chance to own their very own exclusive fridge frame. Beer and art lovers can register their interest by visiting www.budweiser.co.uk/Sir Peter Blake collab. That's budweiser.co.uk/Sir Peter Blake collab. Budweiser and talk art with Sir Peter Blake.
Billy, for me, it's really funny because I first heard about Pose. I met the singer Jessie Ware, who's a British singer, and the last thing she said to me before we met in a gallery of all places at Tracy Emin's exhibition for the first time. And because we were doing our podcast, she was doing hers. Like, I thought I'd say hi, and we chatted. And then at the end of it, she was like, "By the way, have you seen this thing called Pose?" And I was like, "No, I haven't, but I've seen it on BBC TV in England, like on the iPlayer." And then the thing that I saw just before I started watching the show was actually you at one of your runways. And I can't remember which look it was, but it was, you know, so many of your looks, even like the curtains with the hat recently.
Yes.
And like, you know, and then you with the gold wings, like you'd become, every time I would open like a newspaper or read Instagram or any of those things, I kept connecting to you, and I could just see it was in your eyes and your soul. And I felt like I knew you, even though I'd never seen you in anything. And then when I finally got to see Pose, I literally burst into tears, you know, numerous times, but particularly like halfway through maybe season one, I think episode six, where you sing for the first time. Okay.
Yes.
And this is someone who didn't know about Kinky Boots. Like I was totally ignorant to your wonderful and illustrious career somehow. I don't know why, especially as a gay man, it's kind of insane.
It's all good.
But I discovered you then, and I remember calling Russell. I called Russell after I watched it, and I'd just been crying, and I called him and said, "We have to speak to this guy, like Billy Porter, because you are an artist on a level where like it's just transformative the way you can touch people, and it's just a wonderful thing that, you know,
it's a multifaceted connection.
Thank you.
Yeah, and it's just such a joy to have you on Talk Art, but it is this thing of using, you know, what's within you and projecting that in a hopeful kind of positive way to bring people together. And like you mentioned Gaga or
use
Madonna, like,
for good.
Yeah, but you're doing that. And it's a really rare thing.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, the thing for me is that, you know, my entire career, you know, I came out, I started singing in church. Mm. And, you know, when I got to New York, you know, for lack of a better description, you know, I call it extreme singing, you know, so I was a man who had a really, really high voice, and it was very muscular in the way that Whitney Houston is muscular in the way that Celine Dion is muscular or Jennifer Hudson is muscular. Like, I sang with that kind of feminine muscularity, essentially, you know, and I came to New York and I played my trump card, and it pigeonholed me in such a way that was it. It was like, okay, he sings, we're going to make him a singer, we're going to make him the clown, we're going to make him stop our shows. But there was no story, there was no human being behind any of it for decades. And I had to extract myself from the road I was going down so that I could get on the road that I wanted to be on myself, which is what I'm on now. And what I mean by that is what you just said, which is the work. Yes, you saw me first in this fashion sort of platform and had no idea who I was. But when you go to the work is the reason why I'm standing there. The work is the reason why I've been invited to the red carpet. It's not because I'm a social media influencer. No shade.
No,
yeah. No shade. Don't
you're not an it. You're not an it boy. It's not. That's not all it is. It's not. It's not just one linear.
It's because of
like
the work.
Experience
correct.
Of you. Yes,
correct.
The work. Yeah.
Which is also why it means so much. You know, it's like.
Yeah.
It's why it's so inspiring to so many people to see that, to have you there. You're quoted as saying you wanted to be the change that you never saw.
Yes. Yes. Totally. That is exactly right. That's what I'm trying to be, guys.
I'm really excited now because you're signing a record deal. What your stadium show is going to look like. You were referencing Lady Gaga and now because it feels like the music and your personal kind of renaissance is linking.
Yes. And it's connecting back to the beginning. It's connecting back to the original instinct. It's like, it was always this. You know, and the world was so homophobic and so toxically masculine that there was not a space for me before. You know, I must say that the world has progressed and, you know, it's not lost on me that Orangina 45 is president in this moment. It's not lost on me that Pose can simultaneously exist in this time of great oppression and regression.
Yes.
Because that's what art is. Artists have always been the ones, you know, who can reach into, and I've said this before, reach into the hearts of people and change the molecular structure of what's going on inside of that. That's what we do. Right. When we're doing it right, that's what we get to do. That's why, you know, people who are in positions of power like that, tyrants and things of that nature, you know, that's why they want the arts to go first. Because they know we speak truth to power in a creative way. Yeah. So it comes.
And they want to shut it down, yeah.
Right. And then all of a sudden, none of your people like you no more. You know, we know the power we have. We know. I'm trying to do that. I want to do that. I want to just make sure that I stay on the right side of it. You know, the side that matters. That my legacy said, I came and I fucked them up. I did some shit that was good for the world. Like, I want that. That's what I want. And that's why I make the choices I do.
Definitely, yeah. Wow.
So let's get on to art, Billy. Let's get on to, like, where you are as an art collector or an art fan, visual arts I'm talking about, or a museum member, or does visual art play a lot into your life?
You know, interestingly enough, it's not as prevalent, but I love it. And like my apartment is, you know, when I started doing the apartment that my husband and I live in now, this was before I was there by myself for the first 4 years. And I, you know, when I started to think about what to go on the wall, I was like, wow, I've never owned real art. Like I've never thought of it in that way. I just put up posters on the wall or, you know, bought sort of something that everybody else had or that was at, you know, Pier 1 or Pottery Barn or something. I never really thought about it. And my designer was like, you have to think about something that means something to you. Like that should be where it starts. Right. So Angels in America is the piece of theater, the piece of art that completely changed the trajectory of my life. It was the first
same
It was the first time I had seen a reflection of myself back at me, you know, where the Black Queen was actually
Belize.
Is actually the character of Belize, is actually the moral compass, is actually a real person, you know, what? Like not just what I call the Millennium Coon Show clown. You know, and so anyway, I had an artist friend of mine do the original artwork from the original, both Millennium Approaches and Perestroika. And so that was it started for me. And then everything else that has happened has been centered around that, those colors, that spirit. I went to Cuba right before it opened. I took a little trip to Cuba, and the art there, I bought some pieces there that will blow your mind.
Really? What do they look like?
Well, I bought two big pieces, and they're just like faces, like ladies, like faces of ladies, like these sort of abstractions. Nice. The colors are beautiful, the tone, you know, how the they make me feel, you know, and I'm just going with that, you know, like I'm just trying to, you know, because I'm not a historian. I know what I like. Mm-hmm. And I just go, yep, I like that. Yes, I like that. I love it. You know, when I'm at a museum and, you know, I see, you know, I'm really interested in learning more about Black art, about Black artists, you know, when they unveiled that Kehinde Wiley and that other lady of President
Amy
Obama.
Sherald. Yes.
What's her name? Amy Sherald?
Amy Sherald.
Yes. I was like, wow. Like, just wow. It just took my breath away. It was like, right. Like, every artist, every human has a voice. And those of us who are artists really are blessed with the ability to translate that into something cohesive. It's really beautiful. You know, I belong to the Whitney.
Oh, you do? Great. Oh, cool. I love the Whitney. That's my favorite museum in the world. I love the Whitney
so much. I love the Whitney. You know, I wish I could get there more. You know, this would be a time where I would be going more, but, you know, that shit's closed down, so.
Yep. For the minute. Yeah. What have you seen good shows there, memorable shows?
I really haven't seen anything recently because I've been working so hard. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen anything. I was so excited about getting, like, I couldn't even be a Tony. You know, they wanted me to be a Tony, not Tony voter, but a Tony nominator. And I had to turn it down. Because I was like, I will never be able to see everything. So I'm looking forward to Broadway coming back. I was looking forward to seeing your show. I literally got to town the day everything shut down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm looking forward to getting back into a theater.
Mm. Do you have any art heroes, Billy? Did you like love Warhol? Or?
You know, I love the man. What's his name? There was a show called Good Times here in America.
Not Ernie.
Ernie Barnes.
Yes,
Ernie Barnes. You know, the piece of art that they had. In,
it's Sugar Shack, isn't it?
The Sugar Shack, yes.
Ah. yeah.
That's like one of my favorite pieces.
Yeah, we interviewed a British comedian called London Hughes, who's actually making a show now for American TV about her life. She's really brilliant, very funny woman. And she brought that up as well, because when she was growing up in England, she said that every household that she knew had that painting.
Yeah.
Like a poster of that painting. Yeah.
That was like, you know, he was our artist for a really long time. And the woman who does all of the silhouettes about slavery.
Kara Walker.
Yeah.
Oh, y'all better know. Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's you know, like I said, it's not my area of expertise, but I enjoy it when I get a chance to do it that way.
So,
and now that, you know, I'm coming into a space where I can afford stuff, you know, it was interesting to go to Cuba because, you know, they're like giving it away. You know, it's like the pieces that I got are worth so much more than I spent. And they're going to be worth a lot of money when I, you know, in years to come. I just know what I like when I see it.
What about when you were growing up? Did you ever make art yourself or draw or have any relationship to it in your childhood?
No, I didn't really. That's, it's really interesting that you asked that because I didn't. I couldn't draw.
Oh, really?
And I couldn't really draw. And the art that I was interested in was singing. I sang. I played the saxophone in band.
Yeah.
I took dance class. I was already full artistically. That just wasn't on the list for me.
Mm-hmm.
You like that?
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. Yeah. I was kind of the same when I was a young kid. I remember ballet was like such a big thing for me, which is an art form in itself.
Yeah.
But,
and it's like, you know, and for me also too, it's like, I just wasn't, I don't know. There was a perfectionism thing that exists with Black men, especially in America. It's like, you have to be perfect or, you know, and especially being queer, it's like, to dance in my neighborhood, you know, like you had to be amazing at it or you got your ass beat. So all of the things that I tried, I could excel at quickly. And so I think the things that I couldn't excel at quickly, I just put on mute. You know, like it didn't take me long to be a great dancer. It didn't take me long, you know, the singing. It's like, you couldn't fuck with me as a singer. Like, you know, I get saddened, you know, because art went the same route as piano. Like, I couldn't pick it up fast enough to stay with it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But as you're collecting now, that's really exciting. So maybe in a couple of years when we talk to you, you're going to have, your collection's going to be maybe full of Cuban art. You might go down that road even more.
Yeah,
but
I might go back.
You might have such a huge, like, a deeper understanding of what your taste is and work. And that's really exciting you, because we're talking to you now kind of on the start of your collecting journey when it comes to that side of art.
And let me tell you where I found it. You know, because they took us, that's the thing that has thrived in Cuba. You know, it's like everybody is an artist. Like, everybody is an artist in some kind of way over there.
Right.
And
they
took us. It was a group of us that, you know, like, you had to get in with this group, and we got in with this group, and there were like 10 of us, 10 or 12 of us, and they took us to this apartment, and like the apartment, the front hallway was like stacked with the daddy's paintings. Like, literally, when I say stacked, I mean stacked all the way up to like my shoulders. Like the whole apartment, the son's bedroom, was stacked all on the walls. Things were hanging on the walls, but like stacked from the floor on top of each other, all the way up to like your hip. You know, like the mother was a sculptor. The father had this other thing, all in the same apartment. The boy's girlfriend was a photographer, and her, you know, her stuff was stacked. It was like, what? And people said, you know, it was like scavengers, like looking through, you know, I mean, it's like the greatest. And I think I got like four pieces for like $1,200 or something.
Can you remember his name? And will you send us images so we can put
on
Instagram?
Images, but I can't remember the name. But I'll send you.
Incredibly free, a kind of real free sense of creativity there. Like,
yeah.
You know, just making so much work.
Yeah. Oh, the work is
reveling in
that. I would say if you haven't been to Cuba, it'll blow your mind. If we're talking about fine art like this, you got to get y'all asses to Cuba, because it is
Yeah.
And, you know, go with somebody who, like, does it, like, is an insider and does it. Because you need to get the folks' apartments and shit. Like, I mean, we were in a blown-out building that had some apartment, you know, on the fourth floor, like, walk up. Like, it was crazy. It was, like, felt like some black market shit.
Wow.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Wow. Oh, can we ask how much you paid for them? What sort of price it was there for...
For four pieces, wow. I spent $1,200. When I show you these
pieces, for all four,
that's
wow,
amazing.
When I show you,
and how did you get them back? How did you ship them back?
You had to roll them. I had to roll them in a little tube and bring them on the airplane with me. It was an oversized tube. Yep,
that is so cool.
Oh, I can't wait to see them.
Yeah,
cannot wait.
Amazing pieces.
So, Billy, we ask every guest that comes on two very important questions, but we're asking three because we've got a bonus question because we're all in lockdown.
Okay.
But the first question we ask everyone is, if you could do an art heist, if you could have any piece of work of art in the world, it could be a certain dress, it could be a building, it could be a piece of furniture, but anything that's art that you could have to yourself, a touchstone artwork, what would it be and why?
Oh, my God. Oh, Lord.
Tough critical journalism, this, Billy.
You're putting me on the spot. I don't even know. Let me think about that.
Like any dresses, any outfits you've seen anyone in, like Madonna's Galliano boobs?
I almost thought you were going to say like an Egyptian pyramid or something. There's something so Egyptian about that look that the Blondes design duo like designed for you when you were on the Met Gala.
The Met Gala, like Diana Ross,
there was something
and some Egyptian
so, like,
goddess on a day
about
bed.
That.
Can we talk about the six topless men that were carrying you in on
well,
it?
I mean,
did you audition them yourself,
you know,
or where did they come from?
I would have. My stylist auditioned them for me. But they were cute. I'm still connected to them on the gram of Insta.
Sure, yes.
Here's what I'll say about that.
Yeah.
There is something very can it be a building?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because there's something about the architecture in London. Mm. And I don't have a specific building right now, but I would say there's something about the architecture in London that moves me to tears every time I show up. You know, and like I said, I haven't always thought in those terms. You know, it hasn't been until I've gotten older in my life where I started to look up, where I started to sort of see stuff like that, like how beautiful.
But you're talking about old Georgian buildings, the old architecture. You're talking about our own like modern.
I know. I'm talking about the old stuff. I'm talking about the old stuff. The idea that, you know, some of this stuff is like thousands of years old, like.
Yeah.
What?
And you went to Fashion Week in London, didn't you?
I
and
did.
You went to the Royal Academy building.
Yes, I went to that.
Because I saw photos of you at the Royal Academy.
Yeah.
So maybe that's one of the places.
That's
like
totally
the,
a place.
The Royal Academy.
That's totally a place.
Yeah.
You know, it's you know, it's also like when I went to the ruins in Greece.
Right.
Stonehenge. Right.
Like when I went to those ruins, you know, the idea that like the people who walked this earth thousands of years ago, like built this shit, and we it marvels that cathedral. What's the man? What's that artist from? Barcelona. You know,
Gaudi.
I just love that. That building that they've still been building for the last 200 years, that church.
Still building it, yes.
Yeah.
You know, I have to get better.
So you're
going to
take that and you're going to take the Royal Academy.
Yeah, I got to get better with
that. Don't worry. I I think you need to do a photo shoot. Once this lockdown's finished, you need to do a Gaudi shoot. You would look so incredible.
Oh my God.
Like,
yeah, in some
you know what I mean?
Or,
like to be inspired by Gaudi, like a Billy Porter versus Gaudi.
Yeah.
I would effing love that.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm going to, you know, that's a good idea. You know, and like when I'm doing, like when I'm directing, you know, and I need visuals or something, I really go to visual art very often. I'm looking forward to the expansion of my knowledge, and you know, I'm gonna be spending a lot of time in London, so you two can help me out.
Hell
big
yes.
time, we are there for you.
Do you keep all your clothes that you?
No, I some yeah. some of them I do, but you know, they're gonna be all my stuff is gonna be in, I think Kensington Palace or something next year for some sort of exhibit.
Billy, that's amazing.
That is very cool.
But yeah, they want my shit for some reason, because I guess it's art.
we want your shit, Billy. We all
and
want
also,
your shit.
You've been encouraging people on Instagram during this lockdown to like yes. almost like a fashion challenge
yes.
to like dress up and experiment. And it really made me think when I was a kid, how much fun it is to like, you know, play dress up at home and how much confidence and, you know, fun it can bring
yeah,
as well. It's like,
you,
it was really nice
a lot
thing.
Of confidence, and it's very creative.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely. So the other question we ask all of our guests is, what is your favorite color, Billy?
Purple.
Okay,
oh,
why?
Why purple?
It's royal. Royalty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's... It's deep. You know, it's rich. It's a rich color. While simultaneously being colorful, you know,
mm-hmm.
I particularly love purple and, you know, like a deep purple and a deep, rich orange together. Like I love that combination together. I love jewel tones. I love color, but I love it when it's like rich color as opposed to neon.
Got it. Depth.
If that makes sense.
Yeah,
it has
totally.
Depth.
Although you will see me in neon because my stylist is, you know, in his late 20s.
Right. Millennial neon you're going to be in. Okay, we look forward to that.
Yeah, so he puts me in neon. And I'm like, okay, I'll wear it.
And the other question we're asking everyone as a kind of bonus question for the lockdown series is, have you discovered any hidden talents? Or is there anything you would like to sort of take up now that you're going to have more time indoors?
Your hidden lockdown talent.
You know, I would really love to play the piano.
Mm-hmm.
I learned how to play the piano. It's not going to be this time just because I don't have access to the keyboard at the moment. But I also love to cook. Cooking is how I show love.
Oh.
That's the way of how I show love. So I've just been having a really good time cooking for myself and my husband and trying new recipes and all of that stuff.
Amazing.
Yeah,
Billy.
Cooking is a beautiful thing.
Well, thank
I'm
you so much
it.
For coming on. Thank you so, so
yes,
much.
I appreciate it.
On. Yeah. Can we get a category is talk art in the style of Rose?
Yeah. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, the category is talk art.
Yes.
Oh my God. That was legendary.
That's
I love you so much, Billy.
Oh,
I just wanted to
legend.
Say something.
I can't
really...
wait to get back to London so we can all hang out.
Absolutely.
And also, I really want to tell something really quickly to everybody. If you need a YouTube video to watch during this lockdown, please try and find the James Corden kind of outtake where Billy is singing during an award ceremony. And you were, I don't think you were actually meant to be singing, but they sort of invited
during
people
the,
in.
Yes, it's during the Tony Awards.
Yeah.
Last year, like 2019 Tony Awards. And I'm singing, what am I singing? Everything's Coming Up Roses.
That's right. And that video is so truly remarkable because it was kind of during an ad break or something and you sort of like took over, but it is so good. And I think it will bring people a lot of happiness. So yeah, well, thank you for being a guest on Talk Art. And I can't wait to introduce you to more art when you get to London.
Yeah. And everybody should check out your Instagram, Billy, which is at Billy Porter.
Yeah. It's the Billy Porter, T-H-E-E, two E's, Billy Porter.
Amazing. And then for all images we've been talking about today, please go to our Instagram at TalkArt, where you'll be able to see everything we've been talking about. And then we'll be back again very soon.
Very soon. Thanks,
Thank
Billy.
Thank you so much,
Thank
Billy.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, Big lots of love. Okay, bye.
Lots of love. See you soon. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Talk Art with Robert Diamant and Russell Tovey. Follow us on Instagram at Talk Art, where you can view images of all artworks discussed in this episode. Subscribe to Talk Art at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to. Courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.